Would you join me, please, in the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to John? John chapter number 4 is where we'll be looking to for the preaching of God's Word. You find your place in John chapter 4. We'll be reading in verses 39 through 42. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 39. The Bible declares, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Let's pray to prepare ourselves to dive into God's Word this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege that is ours once again to come to this place and worship Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you went to the cross for us. As we sung and praised your name, oh, what a love, what a cost, that you would lay down your life for us, and we are thankful. And in recognition of that, we recognize as well that you have called us, you've commissioned us. And as we focus again on that theme this Great Commission Sunday, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us. Father, you tell us in your word that the role in part of the pastor within the church is to equip. And I pray tonight that your saints would be equipped from the word of God. Help me to preach and to share your word boldly. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. January 19th, 1996. That date may not mean anything to you, but it means a whole lot to me. I was about 10 and a half years old. It was a Sunday night, a cold Sunday night. You say, do you remember that specifically? No, but it was January in Illinois, so it had to have been cold. And we were at church, and there was an evangelist who was preaching in the church that evening, and he preached a salvation message very simply. And though I'd heard the message many a time before and had made professions of faith before, had probably been baptized a half dozen times or so before, I don't know. But it was on that night that I recognized not just a head knowledge, I'd heard it before, but in my heart that Jesus alone could save me from my sin. And I placed my faith and trust in Christ. On that night, as a 10-and-a-half-year-old boy, I was changed. I was transformed. And I am so thankful for my salvation. Since that night, when I had what I could call a salvation encounter or experience with Jesus Christ, I have had many other encounters and experiences with Christ. No, I'm not telling you tonight that I've been saved over and over and over again. What I'm saying is that I have experienced the work of God in my life over and over and over again since then. I have known His goodness, His love, His peace, His joy, His help, His comfort many times over and over again. And tonight, those of you who are here and those who may be watching or listening, if you, too, have had a salvation encounter and experience with Jesus, you may not remember the date. You may not remember all the circumstances and the specific details surrounding your salvation encounter or experience with Jesus Christ. But I would imagine if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, You know the change and the transformation that took place. Maybe it wasn't some phenomenal, cataclysmic transformation or change of your life's practice. Maybe it wasn't some great, tremendous change of your daily life at that moment for you. Maybe it was. But I'll tell you this, if you have had a salvation encounter and experience with Jesus Christ, you were a child of darkness, a child of death, a child of the devil, destined for eternity in hell apart from Christ. In that moment that you placed your faith and trust in Christ, a great transformation took place. Because no longer were you destined for hell, you were destined for heaven. No longer were you a child of darkness, you were a child of light. No longer were you a child of death, you were a child of life. And no longer were you a child of the devil, but you were a child of the King, God Himself. And so, what a wonderful experience, an encounter that you have had if you know Jesus as your Savior. And I would also go on and say, if you have had that encounter and experience with Christ, you too, like I, have had encounters and experiences with Jesus over and over again as His blessings and His joy and His peace and His goodness and His comfort have swept over your soul time and time and time again. And what a wonderful blessing it is. We read here from John 4 about a woman who had her own salvation encounter and experience with Jesus Himself. And the passage that we read comes after she's already had that encounter and experience. And I want you to notice what the Bible says she did in verse 39. We read there that she testified. She testified. The original word in the Greek New Testament is the word martyrosis, and it literally means to witness or give testimony. And what we understand is that this woman, after her encounter and experience with Jesus, immediately went from the well into the village and testified about her encounter and experience with Jesus. I mean, that's what happens. The Bible tells us about her conversation with Jesus here. And after she's had this conversation and Jesus has revealed, in no uncertain terms, Jesus has revealed clearly for the first time, I am the promised Messiah. She places her faith and trust in Him. And right away, she goes back into the village and begins to tell everyone she can come across, I have found the Christ. She testifies of Him. Do you know that she is not the only one to do this in the Scripture? We can read of others who do this same activity of testifying about Christ and their encounter and experience with Him. In fact, Jesus even told some that this was exactly what they were supposed to do. I want you to join me, hold your place there in John 4. Join me in Mark chapter 5 for just a few moments. Mark 5 shares the record of a man who was mad. He had demonic spirits dwelling in his body. And they caused him to live among tombs, to terrorize the region, to cry out in agony, and do harm to himself. The Bible says day and night he was among the tombs, crying out and cutting himself. Jesus changed his life. Jesus transformed him. And before we go on, I want to pause for just a moment. And I want to ask you to think about just these two in John 4 and Mark chapter 5. I dare say that most, if not all of us, understand the woman of John chapter 4. Unnamed, and yet we know something about her. When Jesus began a spiritual conversation with her, he very quickly demonstrated to her how great her need was for a Savior by pointing out the sin of her life, telling her that she had had five husbands and the man she was currently living with was not her husband at all. We come to Mark chapter 5, and here's a demon-possessed man. A man who was deeply distressed, depressed, and in great need, and Jesus reached out and changed his life. You think about the behavior of Jesus. We saw in Scripture this morning that the religious elitists did not like him, did not care for the way he did ministry, because he received publicans and sinners and he ate with them. Over and over again, we see Jesus Christ interacting with, stepping into the lives of those who we might even turn away from. Can I tell you this evening, friends, that God would not have us turn away from them? Can I remind you this evening that those that we are to reach are those who are lost? Jesus himself said that the physician goes not to the well, but to the sick. So the Son of Man came not to seek the righteous, but to bring sinners to repentance. You and I ought not turn our nose up at those who live wicked lives. How can we expect unsaved people to do anything else than live unsaved? And too often I'm concerned in my own life that I turn my eyes away from, that I turn my face away from those who live in that type of wickedness that might cause us to blush, that might cause us to be ashamed to even know about it. But the Bible tells me that those are the people that Jesus went out to reach. And so you and I should be sharing the light and love of Jesus with people like that. And by the way, can I remind you that this place, this building where we meet together to worship Jesus, this building where we meet together to serve Him, this building where we meet together to hear the Word of God preached, this is not a breeding ground for well people who want to just go on with life. This is a hospital to help sick and broken people. I don't know if you know it, but you and I are sick and broken people, and we need help. And so even if someone like that comes into our midst and sits under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, we should share the light and love of Christ with them. In Mark chapter 5, after Jesus changed this man's life, he desired to go with Jesus. Notice what Jesus commanded him in verse 19 of Mark chapter 5. The Bible declares that Jesus said to this man who desired to go with him and journey with him, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends," notice, "and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." What did Jesus tell him to do? Jesus told him, if I can say it this way, to testify what the Lord had done for him and how the Lord had had compassion on him. Jesus commanded him, go and tell others about the encounter and experience you have had with me. How I've changed your life. How I've loved you. A late 19th, early 20th century believer and speaker wrote a hymn that I'd never heard before. I don't know that many of you would have, based on this passage entitled, "What Hath the Lord Done for Thee?" He says, "What hath the Lord done for thee? I was laden with sin when I came unto him, but he hearkened to my earnest plea. He had promised to save, and he freely forgave. All this hath the Lord done for thee, for me. What hath the Lord done for thee? When I found that within was inherited sin, unto him for relief did I flee. By the blood from his side, he my soul sanctified. All this hath the Lord done for me. What hath the Lord done for thee? He hath banished my night with his glorious light. For my bondage he gives liberty. All my sorrow of heart he hath caused to depart. All this hath the Lord done for me. What hath the Lord done for thee? He doth give me each day grace to walk in his way, makes me happy each moment I see, and with joy he fills up and o'erfloweth my cup. All this hath the Lord done for me. All this hath the Lord done for me. He hath banished my night. He hath made my heart white. All this hath the Lord done for me. And I would imagine if those of you who are here with me know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could agree with that. This is what the Lord has done for you and for me in our salvation. Sometimes we overcomplicate evangelism. Sometimes we overthink it. We have a commission from Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And sometimes we just make it more difficult than what it really is. Sure, believers individually and corporately can use creativity. I'm not against that. We can use initiatives and organize outreach events to try to share the light and love of Jesus with those around us. But evangelism simply means sharing the good news or spreading the gospel. And it isn't complicated. It's not difficult. I want to share with you just four applications from the account of John chapter 4. Four practical applications. We can put to use testifying of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Number one, I want you to see this. Insert Jesus into your conversations. Notice, if you would, in John chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples have left Judea to Galilee. And as they're going, Jesus tells his disciples, we're going to travel through Samaria. We've spoken before about how that was a very unusual route for Jews to take. They would do everything they needed to, including going the very long way around to avoid going through Samaria. But Jesus went through Samaria. As they approached the village of Sychar, outside the village, at Jacob's well, Jesus stopped to rest. The disciples went on into the village to get food for the group, and Jesus waited there. And after a time, this woman came out to him, and Jesus immediately does the very unusual thing, not just for a Jewish man to speak to a Jewish woman, but for a Jewish man to speak to a Samaritan woman was an extremely unusual occurrence, and told her to give him a drink, asked of her a drink. And the woman called out Jesus on this unique interaction in verse 9. But notice what happens in verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. What did Jesus just do? In a moment, as Jesus could do as the master, the very word of God, he transitioned this conversation to a gospel conversation. Now, I would think that you and I have numerous conversations over the course of a week. I want you to think back to just this past week. conversations you may have had with family, with friends, conversations you may have had with neighbors, with coworkers, conversations you may have had with young people that you interact with or had opportunity to interact with, conversations that you had with an employer, employee, conversations you may have had with people just out and about in the community. You've had conversations this past week. I want you to think about this for a moment. I've got to ask myself the same question. In how many of those conversations was Jesus even mentioned? In how many of those conversations that you had with others, was there even a thought to insert Jesus into the conversation? You say, Pastor, that's awkward. Pastor, I'm not sure about doing that. Pastor, hey, can I remind you, let's not overcomplicate or overthink it. Evangelism is simply sharing the good news. You say, what good news? The good news that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for your sins. But even more specifically, the good news that you yourself have experienced. Can I ask you, have you had encounters and experiences with Jesus? Why should it seem so awkward? Why should it seem so strange to share the encounters and experiences that you have had with Jesus Christ? Have you ever had a good experience with a shoe? What I mean by that is you bought a pair of shoes that you really liked. Have you ever had a good experience with someone's service? Maybe you interacted with a company that you had do something for you of some kind, some sort of service, and you had a good experience. Have you ever shared with someone about the good experience you had with that pair of shoes? Have you ever spoken to someone else about the good experience, the good service that you received from a particular company or a particular individual? Have you ever told someone about the really good dish that that restaurant serves and you want them to go try that dish? Hey friends, can I ask you, if we can share about those kinds of good experiences, why would we find it difficult to share the good experiences we've had because we're children of God? Look for ways to insert Jesus into your conversations, to share about his love, to share about his grace, to share about his goodness, to share about how he has worked in your life and the difference that it has made. Let me give you a second application. Interrupt your plans for testifying. I want you to notice what happens. Where was the woman when she had this encounter with Jesus? Where was she? The woman of John 4, where was she? At the well, right? What is she at the well for? To get water. That seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? But notice what happens in verse 28. The Bible tells us after she's had her salvation encounter, experience with Jesus, in verse number 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. Now I want to just give you a simple thought. You and I go into our days and through our days with plans, routines, tasks that we want to get done. We tend in America to be busy people, running to and fro, doing this and that. We've got our schedules laid out from the time we get up till the time we're ready to go to bed. If we don't, someone else will do it for us. We have a lot of things we want to get done, a lot of things we want to see happen in a day. If you're like me, you often come to the end of the day and find that those tasks and so on that you wanted to get done that day didn't quite get done. There's always more for the next day. And here's the simple thought. You and I are going to be in situations. I would submit to you, if we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and have our eyes open often, God is going to lead us into interactions with people who need to hear about Jesus. Who it would be God's desire that you and I would share what he's done for us, that we would testify. But that we are so often focused on our task list, so often focused on our schedule, so often focused on needing to get done what we want to get done for a day, that our eyes are not even open to those that God would have us evangelize, testify to. I'm simply saying this, as you and I go about our days, as you and I go about our plans, go about doing our tasks, go about getting things done, go about running to and fro, trying to move from one thing to the next as quickly as possible so we can check things off. Have your eyes open and your heart sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. And as interactions and conversations take place, don't seek to just rush through them so you can get on. Seek for God to allow you to be interrupted so that you can share Jesus with others. Number three, intrigue others by sharing your encounter and experience with Jesus. What did this woman do? In verse 29, the Bible says that she said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." Now, in saying that, she asked the question, is not this the Christ? I mean, this must be the Messiah. In speaking about Jesus, who shared with her all things that she had done, she was specifically identifying Jesus, sharing with her, without her giving any indication herself about her need for a Savior. That truth that she had had five husbands and the man she was with now was not her husband. This must be the Messiah to tell me these things, apart from knowing me any other way. Now, I want to ask you to think for just a moment. Is that exactly the experience and encounter you had with Jesus? Think about the man in Mark chapter 5. Did he have the same experience with Jesus that the woman in John chapter 4 had? Not just in the sense of being saved and transformed, but were their stories the same? The answer is no. Here is the application. Share your story. How did you come to Jesus? How did he change and transform your life? How was the light and the love of Jesus demonstrated to you? How did you come to faith in Christ? And by the way, it doesn't just simply have to be your salvation encounter and experience. How have you experienced the work of Jesus in your life day by day? How have you experienced Jesus in your life that has changed your life, that has transformed your life, that has helped your life, that has encouraged your life, that has brought you joy and peace in life? Share your personal experience with Jesus. And then number four, invite others to their own encounter and experience with Jesus. Verse 29, she asked, is not this the Christ? She said to them, come see a man. She didn't just share what Jesus had done for her, but she invited them to come have an experience with Jesus themselves. Look back to our original text, verses 39 through 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, because she said, come and see, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there two more days. And many more believe because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Testify, invite those that you have the opportunity to interact with, to share your experience with Christ with. There are times that's going to be a one-and-done kind of thing. In other words, it's going to be someone you just meet out in town, and God gives you the opportunity, and you share Christ, and you never see that person again. There are others, I would hope, that you have an ongoing relationship with, a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, a family member, that you have the opportunity to have that ongoing relationship with. As you have that ongoing relationship with that one who knows not Christ, whose life has not been transformed by Jesus, are you praying for them, for their salvation? Are you seeking those opportunities to have a gospel interaction with them where you might share the light and love? Friends, it doesn't just happen. We have to be very intentional at times, don't we? We have to look for those opportunities. This is something that we are growing in. When I say we, I mean myself and my family. We are growing in this. Look for those opportunities to share the light and love with Jesus. And as you do, invite them into their own encounter and experience with Jesus. That may be by sharing the gospel with them from the Word of God. It might be through the giving of a gospel tract. It might be through an invitation to church. Amazingly enough, the vast majority of people in not just one, but in various polls say they would come to church if someone would invite them. But the most current statistics say only 2% of Christians regularly invite other people to church. That's sad. And by the way, if you say, you know, I've done the track thing, I've done the invite thing, it hasn't seemed to work out for me. Not that effective. Not very effective if you're not doing it. Let's be faithful to invite others to their own encounter and experience with Jesus. There's no one method. There's no right plan. There's not one right program that is the way that we need to do it. But we need to do it. We need to be testifying of what Jesus has done in our lives and what he wants to do in the lives of others. Let's commit to faithfully share the light and love of Jesus with those around us by sharing our own experience with Jesus. Father, thank you so much for the time spent in your word. And as we have been challenged to focus on this thought of reaching others, I pray today that you would help us to recognize how you would have us to respond. Perhaps there's a specific person or family that you've laid on our hearts again this evening that we need to be more proactive in sharing our experience with Jesus with. Perhaps, Lord, you've simply worked in our hearts to more faithfully give out gospel tracts. Perhaps, Lord, you've worked in our hearts to be more faithful to invite others to church that they might come under the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, whatever it is that you're working in our hearts about, help us here at the start of the year to commit to be faithful and obedient in these areas. And we'll be sure to praise and thank you for it in Jesus' name.